friends, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of What's on Your Mind. We have one of those shows that's just jam-packed. Last night, a primary in Minnesota, so we got to talk about that. Michelle Fischbach and Jason Lewis will be here to talk about their quest to head to Congress and fix the mess. Congressman Kelly Armstrong is going to be here. We'll preview the energy tour that he's going to be a part of, town hall, tomorrow night. Talk a little bit about all of the above energy and also touch on some things in the House that is... How about that U.S. House? What a mess, huh? Pelosi and...
That's a clown car.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yep.
It's a clown car. It's a good way to say it. Also, Doug Goring will be here. He's the North Dakota Ag Commissioner. He is one of three members of what's called the Industrial Commission. Industrial Commission is really the board of directors for the state of North Dakota. Bank of North Dakota and the state mail and so much of what happens in North Dakota flows through the Industrial Commission. He is joining us at the Energy Town Hall in Bismarck tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m. You want to head west, you'll enjoy that. Trust me, you'll enjoy it. Be part of a, it's like a tea party for energy. All of the above energy. And it's time we demand, that's the right word too, demand that our elected leaders do whatever they can to make sure this industry is not hindered by agenda politics. So much of what ails the coal industry right now, as an example, the attacks on the oil industry, on one hand, it's government, it's regulation. On the other, it's the green dream agenda. It's like a bad dream, the green bad dream agenda. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, no doubt. The green new bad deal.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's what the town hall is all about. All of the above energy solutions that come from we the people. We'll have the industry representatives there. We'll have elected leaders there. Commissioner Goring is going to be there. Congressman Armstrong's participating. Some folks by Zoom and others in person. So come join us. Also, we're going to talk to Tyler Westlake from High Plains Apache. A little bit about the sprayers they sell, what they do at High Plains Apache. If it has anything to do with application, they're the pros. They know it and they know it well. So we'll talk to them today on the program. Coming up on what we call What's on Your Mind. So also want to tell you that tomorrow we're going to broadcast our program from the Moorhead Courtyard Hotel. Courtyard by Marriott, I guess they call it, in Moorhead.
Right off 94 there.
Yep. And we will be there beginning at 8 o'clock. For a stop by our friends at the Center for the American Experiment, Center of the American Experiment. Minnesota is right now planning to adopt California emission standards.
Help us!
And this isn't like a...
We're under siege!
Something you say, hey, you know, they do it this way, should we do it that way? Let's let all the members of the legislature weigh in. Let's have a discussion.
There's an idea.
No,
process,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is by fiat. This is by fiat from the governor.
The emperor.
And every vehicle will cost, what is the average, $1,300 more?
No, $2,400
more. $2,400
more. Yeah. Go to nocacars.com and there's a graphic there about this ridiculous proposal. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Like there's some huge pollution, air pollution problem in Minnesota that we don't know about.
And you know what else I don't like? When they slide this crap through, when you're in the middle of, you know, the three-ring circus that is the pandemic. I mean, they get that right. Don't, you know.
Yeah, it's another money
slam
grab.
Slam some other things down our throats.
That's all it is, a money grab.
Now, they also say that the new rules make cars less safe because in order to meet the standards, you have to make...
Yep, lighter materials.
Exactly. Smaller frames, lighter materials. Yep. And then, you know, studies will show you that's likely to bring you, if you are, God forbid, in an accident, a much more serious injury.
It will force auto dealers to stock electric cars that are not profitable. And it just goes on. It's unbelievable.
Limit the supply of gas-powered cars available to buy at dealerships. Limit them. So here's the deal. Today, they'll be in St. Cloud at 8 a.m., Courtyard by Marriott in St. Cloud. That's the first stop. That's actually happening as we speak. Alexandria later today at 12:30 at the Broadway Ballroom Event Center. Fergus Falls at 5:30 this afternoon at the American Inn by Wyndham. Okay? Tomorrow, then, as I mentioned, Moorhead, 8 a.m. And this is really going to be, they have some experts along. They give you the information you need. You know, you can ask questions. Just an information session so you know what's happening, because this is flying below the radar.
Just one note, too, on this California car business, Scotty.
Yeah.
New study finds that cold temperatures can sap electric car batteries as much as 40%.
I've heard that.
Yeah, when you use interior heaters. Yeah, so would you drive an electric car in this part of the world where we live, knowing that?
Yeah.
If I run my heater, maybe 40% distance, I might not want to use that car to drive to Wahpeton in the winter.
Can't make it to Fergus from here.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Take my life in my own hands. Thanks, Gov.
Tomorrow, Moorhead, Courtyard by Marriott, 8 a.m., be there. Thief River Falls, tomorrow afternoon, 5:30, Thief River Golf Club. Don't miss that. Then Friday, Bemidji at 8 a.m., at the Hampton Inn and Suites. Beautiful location there, not far from Lake. That's a good 4-iron from Lake Bemidji. And Brainerd tomorrow. I'm sorry, that's Friday. Brainerd Friday, 12:30, Arrowwood Lodge. And then Duluth at 5:30 p.m. at Blackwood's Grill and Bar. So there's the event locations and times for you to attend a free event to say, you know what, we don't want to increase the cost of driving. All pain and no gain to this. What do you get from this? That's the other thing. What is the reason for it? What's the upside? You can't prove any of it.
Nope. None of it. Zero impact on the environment.
So that's really crazy. Have zero measurable impact on air pollution.
It was crazy when they did it in California.
Did you know that the EPA's data showed that air pollution was worse during the COVID-19 stay-at-home order in Minnesota than the previous five-year average?
Yeah, I believe that.
So you shut down the economy, 40% of traffic goes away, and there was zero difference for air pollution.
Nope, yep,
exactly. These mandates are worthless, folks. Wrap your mind around that number.
How does he not get it? How does he not, I mean.
And you know, look, it's America. Anybody can propose anything. But to do it by fiat, executive overreach, not have some input from legislators that are elected by the people, that's bad. That is bad. No California car mandate for Minnesota.
And please Google, how do electric cars do in the cold, and do some research, because it'll make it so, they don't quite work as well as they do in California here.
I actually knew that story because I've heard that from Jason Bohr, who drove a Tesla.
Yes.
Jason is the head of the Lignite Energy Council because, of course, it's coal that powers the electric cars.
Wired.com says there's two things. It also limits the regenerative braking. So the car recoups less power. You can't rely on one pedal driving or the brakes. Mm. Thanks, Gov.
Yeah, they're coming away.
Get all over that.
Tesla's done a nice job, I think, but it's a very expensive still, and it'll be a while, and you know what? It ought to be A choice, not B choice, and that's what they make
you do. If you live in Arizona or California, you're good.
NoCAcars.com. We'll take a break. Come back with Tom Hauser. Tom is the senior political reporter for KSTP. We'll talk a little bit about last night's primary election and more coming up with him. Straight ahead on What's On Your Mind. Don't go away. on What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. And we appreciate you being here day in and day out, brought to you in part by our friends at Right at Home. What does that mean, right at home? Well, we're all right at home when we're at home, right? The right services when and where you need them. For many folks, the in-home senior care, the best solution for maintaining a healthy lifestyle and loving relationships. The customized care plans to give you peace of mind, and they really can do about anything. Transportation, just plain old-fashioned companionship, personal care, report on changes in the condition of your loved one, medication, bathing, dressing, laundry, making meals, you know, purchasing meals, groceries, whatever it is. Barry is the owner of the Fargo location of Right at Home. He'd love to visit with you. See how they can help. 701-997-0400, rightathome.com, rightathome/fargo.com. You tell them that Scott sent you. Our next guest is joining us on quite the day after primary day, to talk about the political scene in Minnesota, last night's election, and what's happening at the state capitol as well during this pandemic. Tom Hauser, KSTP reporter, most respected political reporter in Minnesota by a mile. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. I appreciate you joining us when you probably need toothpicks to keep your eyelids open, right? Late night for you?
You know, it didn't end up being quite as late as we thought it might be, because there were no excruciatingly close races that we had to keep an eye on. Plus, because of all the mail-in balloting, chances are if there was a close race, all the ballots weren't going to be done being counted until Thursday. So it actually had the effect of letting us get home at a fairly reasonable hour.
Was the big race Ilhan Omar and her primary challenger there in Minnesota?
Yeah, that was the most watched, largely because $11 million was spent on that primary race, which we believe is a record for the state of Minnesota. You know, very unusual to have a significant primary challenge like that in a congressional race. In fact, we haven't had a congressional incumbent in Minnesota lose the nomination, I think, since 1944. So just the fact that there was any doubt about whether Ilhan Omar would win again was significant. As it turns out, she ended up winning by, 17 or 18 points. So not quite as close as we thought it would be, but her opponent did still get 40% of the vote in that race.
Yeah, I think when I looked at it at one point, there were more people who voted against her than voted for. So not exactly a ringing endorsement, but also she's not crying when you're winning by 17 or 18 points. So it's certainly not as close as some people thought. So
yeah, she did get over the 50% mark, which is impressive in a race with multiple candidates, you know, three or four or five candidates. So, you know, it was still a good night for her, but I think it may have opened her eyes that maybe she needs to be a little more inclusive of other Democrats in that district, because there were a lot of well-respected Democrats who just were unable to back her.
What did you make of Minnesota 7? Michelle Fischbach, four opponents there. She obviously had the president's endorsement, the party backing, a lot of money, but you had Dave Hughes, who's been in that race before. You had Neil Collis, who spent a fair amount of money for a primary challenger as well in Minnesota 7, yet she ran away with it. What'd you make of that?
Well, let me just say about Neil Collis, my favorite thing is that finally we had a candidate who injected some humor into a race. He had some very funny TV ads. He actually had $750,000 that he raised so that he could actually air some of these ads. My favorite one, you know, since he is a retired doctor, he said Washington needs a colonoscopy was one of his the theme of one of his ads. And you just don't see that kind of humor anymore in television ads, you know, like Paul Wellstone did years ago. Now they're all about attacking and they're very biting. So I did enjoy that. Didn't really do him a lot of good. Michelle Fischbach pretty much walked away with the race. And, you know, Dave Hughes, he came within 5 points and 4 points of beating Colin Peterson while spending almost no money in 2016 and 18. It's going to be really interesting to see what Michelle Fischbach can do with what I'm going to guess will be many millions of dollars. both her own campaign money and outside money that I do anticipate will be poured into that race.
Yeah, no kidding. We're going to be watching that one very closely right here, folks. Do you? How would you handicap that race? I mean, given the fact that you've got the president's political apparatus wrapped around Michelle Fischbach, obviously the Minnesota GOP doesn't have a great record in Minnesota 7 at all. They sometimes don't even get involved. Now they're all enamored, which is good. But I think the president's endorsement, if you're ever in Minnesota 7, it is a sea of Trump signs. It is unbelievable. I saw one Biden sign in Bemidji last weekend. Otherwise, that's it. I've not seen one. And it's just a sea of Trump signs, Trump flags, Trump boat parades. It's unbelievable. So is that enough to get her across the finish line, do you think?
You know, it might be, because some people will look at this, if they look at it from the macro level, and they'll say, well, the president's approval rating is only in the, you know, low to mid-40s at best in certain places. But then if you look at his approval rating among the party faithful Republicans, his approval rating is still very high. And that's what is the most important thing, obviously, in the 7th District. President Trump won that race by 30 points in 2016. So he was very popular then, even if his popularity has waned a little bit in the district. Let's say it's down 5 points. That is still a substantial advantage. Now, can Collin Peterson overcome that with his own personal popularity? Then there's no mistaking that, given the fact that he has won re-election, I forget how many times, 15, 16 times in that district. But like we saw with Jim Oberstar in the 8th, after a while, that support continues to erode, and then eventually you end up losing. Will this be the year that happens to Collin Peterson? You know, I think there's a better chance this year than in the previous two or three elections.
A couple other races I want to ask you about, I guess, you know, just the political scene. First a race, then on Governor Walz. Jason Lewis against Tina Smith. I saw some polling recently, has that one a little bit tighter. Jason Lewis is just this tenacious candidate. Tina Smith, not necessarily as well known as many senators before her from the Democratic side. Is that a race? Is that a race that is winnable for Republicans?
You know, and this might surprise some people, but and there hasn't been a lot of polling in the race yet, but the poll that came out yesterday from Emerson University, and you know, whenever you look at a poll, Scott, as you know, you got to look at, okay, who's doing the polling? What is their track record? If you look at the 538 blog's rating of pollsters, Emerson gets an A-. They are a very well-respected polling organization, and they have it as a 3-point race right now in favor of Tina Smith, which is within the margin of error. They also have the presidential race in Minnesota at about the same mark, about 3 or 4 points. So that is significant. Tina Smith does not have the name recognition of some other Democrats. She has one 2-year extension of Al Franken's term, but this will be the first time she will, you know, be running for a 6-year term in a regular general election, and it's going to be all about turnout. She may benefit from a big turnout of Democrats who really want to defeat Donald Trump, but Jason Lewis has to hope that the Republicans, who many of whom think their voices are often silenced by the liberal national media, are going to come out in strength for Donald Trump and help carry Jason Lewis across the finish line, because, you know, Trump has endorsed both Jason Lewis and Michelle Fischbach, and that could play a significant role.
We're going to talk with both of them today, coming up on the show momentarily. About 45 seconds left, Tom, but I do want your take on Tim Walz. It seems to me, if I just did a random sample of walking around the, you know, western Minnesota, the guy would be right up there with I don't know what, but not exactly the best of the best, some kind of low-life criminal or something. He is not popular in western Minnesota. Is he in any danger at all as far as statewide, in your view, politically?
Well, you know, his next election isn't until 22, so a lot can happen between now and then. Certainly, if there was an election held today, there are a lot of people, especially in greater Minnesota, who are not happy with the one-size-fits-all mask mandate, for instance, and some of the school restrictions and those types of things. But I think his approval rating in our Survey USA polls, while they were at one point up around 80%, have dropped down to the mid-50s. That is still a pretty solid number to be at overall. But clearly among Republicans, he is not at all popular. And independents will be the key thing to watch in terms of their view of Tim Walz.
I hope we're going to hear more about the decision-making process related to Precinct 3 and the night of the riots post-George Floyd, because it seems like a lack of leadership there, not only by the mayor, but by the governor and others as well, that really let that slip away. So that certainly needs some focus as well. But as you say, it's a long time till Election Day. Love your work, Tom. Appreciate catching up with you. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
You as well. Tom Hauser, KSTP, political reporter, and a good one. Often do I say that about a reporter? I don't know. That means they're good. I love just good, old-fashioned shoe leather, reporting. Brought to you today by Chose Investments, homegrown company, decades of experience. They've got the contacts, the relationships. Want to build new? You want to build, go into something that's already ready to move into? Whatever it is, ChoseInvestments.com can help you find the best place for your business to thrive. 9 o'clock at WZFG, Dilworth, Fargo, Moorhead, USA. More.